Welcome back to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast featuring a good old rope dog.
Third time's a charm this week.
Third time? This is the second time.
We tried twice yesterday with our intro.
Oh, okay, but yeah.
Somebody was grumpy yesterday.
And featuring the grumpy yet lovable Hunter.
He almost got the nickname Hungover Hunter yesterday.
I did. This is our second time recording this. Not all the way through, just the intro part.
Yeah.
And then it was just like every single time we were getting into a role, something else happened. I said, fuck it. I said, I'm done. And then I moved on to my life. And yep. I feel better now about doing it today.
He took a nice nap at the water park while we all sat in the pool.
Mm-hmm. It was great. The water was too cold. I'm not getting in it.
Yep.
You can't make me. Anyway, we have a great fucking show.
Yeah, we do.
We have a good one. We're going to talk about our top five favorite Easy Core songs.
Why don't you give everybody a lesson of what Easy Core is?
I will, because I googled it and I found a really good answer, and I actually learned something, and I think you might too.
Nice.
So Easy Core, less commonly known as Popcore, Dudecore, Softcore, or Happy Hardcore. Ooh. Oh, and Easy, I guess, which is actually what I used to call it forever, is a genre that merges pop punk with elements of metalcore. It often makes use of breakdowns, unclean vocals, major key progressions, and riffs and synthesizers.
Ooh.
The genre's roots come from early 2000s pop punk groups Sum 41, Newfound Glory, so I guess they're kind of like the staple of it all.
Yeah.
Newfound Glory's self-titled and Sticks and Stones album and Sum 41 song Fat Lip were some of the earliest and most influential releases in the genre, which
is super true.
The style's name originates from the 2008 Easy Core Tour, which featured A Day to Remember, 4 Years Strong, and headliners Newfound Glory, with itself was a pun based on the name Hardcore Punk. Actually, that's the thing I didn't know, and I was like, oh, that's super interesting that a whole genre was basically created from a tour.
Yep.
That's fucking cool. Really appreciate that. Roper, yeah. Our social media guru...
Yeah.
Decided to put out a big old question for you guys. Roper, what was that question?
I asked what your favorite Easy Core songs were.
Mm. And you know what? Big applause to all of you guys, because this is the most success we've had with our questions.
Yeah.
Had a lot of people reach out.
Super last minute, too, so.
Yeah, you guys killed it. I'm going to start with my buddy Ben. Ben said Parkway Drive. Great band. But he also texted me.
Oh.
He texted me when he listened to the last episode, which if you guys didn't listen to it, was our discussion on the new wave of pop punk.
Yeah.
And he said something that is a sin in the community, and maybe you guys will side with him, who knows. MGK's new album is closer to the roots of pop punk than the story so far. And then I said, oh my god, you are retarded. Excuse my language. I'm gonna murder your entire family now based off of your opinion. What's the gate code to your mom's? And then he said 4455.
Watch that be the actual gate code.
Joke's on you. I lied. It's not the actual gate code he sent me. Then we had some other great people hit us up. Francisco_G_19 said, been through hell by These Hearts, super underrated band. Haven't even listened to them. Have you?
I might have a long time ago, but
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Remember. The name sounds super familiar.
One of our up-and-coming bands said, Sparing, awesome band, said, does SYG count?
And that is Set Your Goals.
I know
absolutely.
That. I know that. And he is, yeah, 100%. Watch Your Tone Vision said The Bitter End from Sum 41, which is, you know what's weird? I just never considered Sum 41 to be an easy core band for some reason.
I can hear it because they were one of the first bands to blend pop punk and metal together.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes sense, like, looking back on it, but for whatever reason, I'm disappointed that Sum 41 didn't make either of our lists because they're one of my favorites. I love Sum 41. And then Fueled by Coffee Pot said Keystone State, Dudecore, or About to Get Fruit Punched, Homie. This guy is going to enjoy this episode.
Yes, he will.
So, also, our buddies from the last episode, Empty Space Podcast, said Belmont. Anything Belmont. But Old Wounds hold a special place in my heart. Belmont's great. He's also really excited for this episode. We got a lot of great bands to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
But otherwise... Roper, do you want to hit into our new releases of the week?
I do. So, the new release that I've been digging the most this week, since I couldn't pick my other one, was No Pressure and their new single, Bed of Nails.
I've been rude, I've been down, I've been out of
this one yet?
I did.
Think you have.
I did listen to it. Sounds like the last EP.
It does. Well, yeah, I think the last EP, well, his first EP was like, we were all kind of caught off guard by it. We weren't expecting it to come out. And so I think that's why it garners a lot of traction, or it garnered a lot of traction. I still love it. It kind of shows Parker's more so like hardcore roots with his with like mainly punk influences,
yeah,
on that EP. So it's a lot. It's not. It's different than the story so far, but it's definitely got some similarities between like his earlier story so far stuff, as well as like other punk. So.
Do you prefer it?
Do I prefer it to the story so far?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, me either. That's what's confusing to me. It's like a lot of people love the EP. It came out, and I was like, yeah, it's fine. It wasn't for me.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot just because it was like new Parker Cannon stuff.
Sure, like I love Parker's vocals. And it's very raw,
yeah,
and I feel like...
That's what I appreciate about it.
Yeah,
it
I know a lot of people love that.
It doesn't have like the polish that the new story so far stuff has.
Sure.
But I think it's just because I've been such a big Story So Far fan since I heard them in 2012 that, like, I think every album that they put out is, like, fucking perfect. So,
yeah, I
it's really hard to compete with it. Plus, we've seen them progress as a band.
Yeah.
And definitely. We really haven't seen No Pressure progress yet.
Who's all playing the instruments?
In this band?
Yeah, No Pressure.
I didn't do any research on that.
Oh, okay. I was curious if it was like some members of the story so far, maybe some other things.
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either. But I don't know. I think the lack of production, I have to admit it to myself, I like production and music.
Yeah.
I think it's super important. And I think his vocals lose a lot of power without that production.
I don't know. It's different than the story so far. So
sure.
I think whereas story so far has really mellowed out within the last couple albums and years, like this is like kind of like his harder side of his music.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
But I mean all musicians progress or try to change their sound a little bit just to, because their influences changes.
Yeah.
Or changes.
I've been really getting back into the story so far lately.
Yeah.
Listen to a lot of their Under Soil and Dirt's definitely my favorite record by them. And then No Pressure. What was their latest one called again?
Proper Dose.
Proper Dose is probably my second right now.
Yeah, it's really hard to pick which one's my favorite because I really love that self-titled album.
Oh, that one's good too. That actually probably has one of my top three favorite songs by them.
Yeah.
Heavy Gloom, baby.
Heavy Gloom's great.
You know what a song that we can both rant about is?
Rant? We're going to rant about your pick?
In the Happy Ways.
Oh, okay.
It's Grayscale's new song, Babylon. Come say it to my face. Wipe that smirk up and walk my way. Not playing games. Try staying in your lane. Cut from the same place of dawn. Look away. Come say it to my face. I'm really surprised that you like this one.
I love it.
I think it's really
I like it
good.
More than the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay. Dirty Bombs has, like, a killer fucking guitar solo. Like,
yeah.
Like, it pulls you in within the first half second of the goddamn
song.
Oh,
absolutely.
That's awesome. But this one, here's what I meant by production. Grayscale, very produced. But it's done so articulately that, I might have used that word wrong, but it's done so well that it makes it feel like it's supposed to be there and not shoehorned in there.
Yeah, it kind of, when I heard the opening guitar riff to this, I'm like, this is a 1975 song.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Maybe I need to go back and try them again, but I like, it really threw me off because sometimes like my headphones will like disconnect from my goddamn phone for no reason.
Yeah.
And there's like that part where there's like absolutely no noise and I'm like, yeah. God fucking, and it goes, and I was like, oh shit, it's fine, okay. Grayscale is knocking it out of the park and their album's going to come out soon.
At the end of this month.
That's
August
fucking
27th.
Incredible, because they just announced it like midway through last month, right?
Which I almost like that a little bit more, that they didn't announce it like
4 months or 5 months before it was supposed to come
out. Yeah, so that way they can get their singles in and we can stay hyped over it rather than just forgetting about the singles.
Yeah, 100%. That's kind of like, I never understood why it takes more than 2 months to release an album. But
yeah, I couldn't tell you.
I'm not a marketer, so
yeah.
You know, I know it's supposed to build hype and all that, but I feel like you're just losing momentum.
Yeah, I don't like the whole four singles then put out the record thing, because I feel like I feel like by like single number four, you're like, all right, well, I already got half the record, so.
See, I kind of like
it. Just depends.
I don't care. It's like, it's all new music to me. I'd rather not wait than wait, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Although when I discover like a new band's like album that I haven't heard all the way through, and I hear it all the way through for the first time, it's because like you automatically love the singles more because you have more time to spend with it. So, but anyway, great song. Other notable releases: Settle Your Score, Staring at the Ceiling.
This song fucking rules too.
I love it. Yeah. Big fan of Settle Your Scores. You're actually going to be hearing a little bit about them later on the episode. Roper, you want to? I haven't heard the last two.
Oh, okay. Jail Sox released a song called Peace of Mind. I added these guys because I had talked about them in a prior episode. Maybe in our what we're listening to.
Oh, God. That was a while ago.
Yeah. So I had mentioned their song Popular Avenue, and these guys just have this very raw sound to them. And, like, the production isn't up there because they're like a newer band.
Oh, maybe I do remember you talking
about
these
guys. Know it if I showed you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to see them kind of progress as well with their new singles. I think this single is pretty great too. And then Citizen released another single, which is crazy because they just put out a whole new album in April.
I was going to say, I was shocked to see this.
This must be like a B-side because they were putting out like different versions of the songs that they put out on their album. So they might have been like, well, since we're doing that, let's just write a whole new song. It's very in the vein of their most recent album. I think it's pretty good. I love Citizen, so.
I find it ironic that I was like, last episode I said something about this guy, this sounds like Citizen. And then this episode was like, oh, an actual new Citizen song. So Citizen's weird for me. It's like, I feel like I have to be in a very specific headspace to actually listen to it.
Their newest record, I don't feel like I have to be in a headspace, but like their earlier stuff, I felt like I had to be like really fucking pissed off or sad to listen to them.
Yeah, definitely sad for sure.
Yeah.
But that is our other notable releases. We always get our information from the Pop Punkers on Reddit. But anyway, are we ready to get to the meat and potatoes of the episode?
Yeah.
All right, let's fucking hit it.
This is our top five easy core songs. I had a tough time with this one because, like, for a minute there, I couldn't tell the difference between easy core and just pop punk because a lot of people progressed into that sound. So I know one of the songs that I originally had on my list, you're like, that's not an easy core song.
Mm.
But it's basically, it's from one of the bands that was like, invented the easy core style genre.
Yeah,
so
mm-hmm. I mean, so it was
that's why I added it.
Which one was it?
It was Monument by A Day to Remember.
Yeah, I mean, so the only reason I didn't consider that to be a easy core song is because I think it was in a minor key.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but A Day to Remember is definitely one of the staples of easy core. But
I was gonna have at least one of their songs on my list, but I've just listened to them so much that I'm like, all right, I'll talk about Monument. And then we kind of talked about it, and I'm like, I just really don't feel like arguing about it. So, everything else is like, I don't know, I'm sure all of their other songs have been talked to ad nauseum. So I decided to go with some other picks. But my first pick being by a band called The Wonder Years.
Oh, yeah.
It's off of their Let's Get Stoked on It. Was that an album or an EP?
So, all right. As a huge Wonder Years fan, it's so hard to keep it in track because they have the Sleeping on Trash, which was like a compilation of all their old songs and a couple covers. Then they had like the Won't Be Pathetic Forever EP, which had like four songs.
Okay.
I think that came out in like 2007 or 2008. And then they released a Get Stoked on It remastered, remixed version.
Yeah.
That I want to say came out in like 2010, but I could be wrong. And so it's so hard to fucking tell where it started.
So I feel like this one started out on the I Won't Be Pathetic Forever EP,
mm-hmm.
which came out, I think you had said 2007.
I think it's 2007.
When I had downloaded this back in the day illegally, it was it was part of the Let's Get Stoked on It CD, but now that you're saying I Won't Be Pathetic Forever was its own EP, then we'll just go with that.
Okey-dokey.
The song choice is I Won't Be Pathetic Forever. Won't sleep our minds away. Tonight.
This is a great fucking song.
I love this song. This is the one song with that girl's tattoo in it.
Yeah.
I Refuse to Sink.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked the song. This is a early Wonder Years pick that includes their first quotable lyric, I Refuse to Sink. Most people would just blend this into the pop punk song or blend this into the pop punk genre. But then that early Wonder Years synth pops in during the chorus, and therefore, in my mind, makes it more of an easy core style song.
Definitely is an easy core, or it has elements for sure.
Yeah, a lot of their earlier stuff is more so easy core.
They were one of the bands that slipped from easy core to more traditional pop punk, and now they're more emo pop punk.
Yeah.
And I think they're really trying to go into a rock sound. I think it's one of the only bands that like I've gotten to witness, mainly from the beginning, that like actually had switched genres well.
Yeah, you could see their influences change throughout the years. I hadn't found them until after this came out, so in like 2011. So I found them when the Upsides came out, and
I think that's about when I found them too.
Yeah, and that album fucking blew me away. But it was nice to come back to this and hear like Let's Monster Size and stuff like that. They're very like easy core style songs. But this one, I really like the lyrics to it. I don't know, it's just like another day in the life of Dan Campbell on tour, or just like trying to figure out his life.
Mm-hmm.
And back when I found this, I found it like really relatable, because I was just like, I don't know what the fuck I want to do. Like, maybe I can do all these things in my life and find some sort of fulfillment, or I can just kind of go with it. I don't know, but
so unsure sounding.
Yeah,
I don't know. I like the song.
I don't know. At the time, I was like, yeah, maybe I can do something to change the world. That's how Dan Campbell feels in the song.
Mm-hmm. This is the one where he's like, lately I've been thinking about being a doctor
or a teacher. Yep.
And actually, he was being a teacher for a little bit.
He was being a substitute teacher.
So I thought he was like a English teacher.
He might have done both.
Yeah, Dan Campbell's the fucking shit. I love Dan Campbell.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, this song's just an early peek into like before he got it big, or before
he got big,
before they made it big, and like he could actually progress as a touring musician and stuff.
There's some YouTube videos of them in like basement shows playing these songs, and it is like I can't tell you how much money I would pay to be there.
Oh yeah,
when they were like doing these songs, 'cause, man, they had, from the very beginning of them being a band, they were fucking killing it as performers.
Yeah,
like Dan is like just fucking insane, everyone is like moving, and it's like sometimes it's hard to find bands like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's where his passion lies, is in his music. Like, he doesn't have any real vices or anything, like alcohol or like cigarettes or anything, and so like I think his release is performing.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts so much care into it and makes sure every show is phenomenal.
Yeah,
I can't say that I've seen Wonder Years play and have been like disappointed by it.
Even when they came to Iowa, they were like,
oh, it's phenomenal.
I remember when he was on stage and he was like, yeah, we've had a lot of people tell us to be worried a little bit about Iowa, because all the people, well, what'd he say? It was like the crowd performance wasn't really up to par. Yeah. And he was like, but I learned that's a lie, or something like that.
Well, yeah. The cool thing about being a Wonder Years fan in Iowa is it's a very like exclusive, you know.
It's very niche. Yeah.
It's very niche. There's not like, it's not like an all-time low where it's like, oh yeah, we know that one song.
Yeah, it's like, if you know the Wonder Years, you know
everything. It's like the Menzingers as well too. It's like bands like that carry good followings because they always give 110%. Not saying the other bands don't, but like, if you know the, like Hunter said, if you know the Wonder Years, you fucking know the Wonder Years. Like, you're in love with them.
It's a beautiful thing.
So I don't really know anybody who's like, oh, I fucking hate them, because it's impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And if anyone said that to me, I'd be like, I'm so sorry. I can't even talk to you.
Sorry, your opinion's wrong.
Yeah.
But that's all I have to say about I won't be pathetic forever. It's really good, and it's a nice glimpse into early Wonder Years. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's your turn.
Oh, my goodness. All right. My first band is Britney Spears with her song Toxic. Anybody?
No. That's not an easy core song.
You don't know anything about easy core, but fine. I'll replace it. I've chose Me Versus Hero.
I haven't listened to these guys in a long time.
Dude, yeah. They're kind of a throwback for me, too.
Yeah.
off their album Days That Shape Our Lives that came out in 2009, I chose the song Can You Count, Sucker? We make a getaway. Okay.
No, I can't.
So while I was doing some research for this episode, it was really hard for me to, because I knew the bands like I wanted to pick, but I was like, there's like, I want to like throw in a random one I haven't got to talk about.
Yeah.
Me Versus Hero is one of these bands that like I knew about, but I didn't really
know 100% about.
Yeah, exactly. But I think this is a great song. I think the album it comes off is awesome too.
Does this have an eyeball on the front of it?
It's like a guy holding something, or I forget.
Oh, you can keep going. I'll check it out later.
Anyway, I said for the reason why I picked it was Me Versus Hero has been a sleeper band for me, but I always knew I liked them, so I'm glad I got to jump into this. I love the gang vocals and the drums. It just seem like they can't fucking stop. I think that's awesome. There were some drum fills. I was like, wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You don't really hear that as much. They really hit the sweet spot for me, but the guitar solo in the bridge is dope as hell, and the energy this track brings is something special. It just feels like redemption mixed with let's keep going, boys.
Yeah.
They talk about, like, they use some of the common tropes like setting sail and stuff like
yeah.
that. And
I think I do know this one.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. But it's a band. They actually released a record, I want to say, like a couple years ago, like 2019. I haven't listened to it yet. But I feel bad because I think the band is really good and they should have some more recognition. But I guess that's going to start by listening to their new album.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't sure if they were still around.
I think we plan on doing a top five bands we sleep on. And
they'll be on it for you?
I think they will be. I hope so.
All right.
But honestly, that's my pick.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I like that pick. That's good. That's a good job.
Thanks, Mom.
Can't debate that one. My number two pick is by a band called Belmonts.
Ooh.
This is from their self-titled album, which came out in 2018. The song is called Maplewood. Against the wall, at least there's nowhere left to fall. Got the time to cook to fix my lack of trust. I do all I can, but still it's not enough. I'm holding out to shed this ball and chain. I tried, but I'm still dragging dead weight. And that little didn't sound very approving.
I like Belmont. I like this record. I think it's intense.
Yeah.
It is a record I'd like to spend a little bit more time with.
Yeah, they're another band that I sleep on too.
Yeah,
everything I hear from them, I'm like, that's fucking awesome, and then I always just forget about them, which sucks because they're fucking great.
You know what Belmont always does really good? The fucking album art is always killer.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
I don't know how they do it. Awesome shit.
They probably have some pretty cool, talented friends that do it.
Some graphic designers.
Some designers. I was gonna call them diners.
Some diners.
But I picked the song because Belmont, I consider them a modern-day easycore band. They bring a lot of elements with, like, a lot of elements of pop punk and metalcore, or just metal in general, to all of their songs. They always have, like, heavy-ass breakdowns and stuff like that. And vocally, like, he hits these, like, really high-pitched vocals, and then he'll, like, bring them down to like very low verses to kind of pull you into this song, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And once the chorus hits, like, you're ready to fucking go. This song starts off with like a sick guitar riff in the beginning. I don't know. Did you listen to this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. This one, it's fucking awesome. Like, I get super pumped up every time it comes on. Like, it's got this nice like bounce to it. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, I think you just have to like really listen to it to kind of understand like where I'm coming from
vocally. But I think it's a really interesting song.
Yeah,
I like his, he's got like some highs in there though.
Yeah, that's what, like, I was like kind of trying to say is like during the chorus he like really hits those high notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then during like the verses is when he kind of starts to go softer. I like the theme behind the song too. It's like I think what he was like trying to get excuse me. What he was trying to say in this song is like, you shouldn't spend, or like, he's spending all this time lusting over things that he can't have, and he wishes like he has all the time that he wasted lusting over those things. He has that in his mind as time lost. Mm-hmm. And so after he like realizes that he shouldn't have been lusting after all that, all those things that he wanted, he's like scrambling to get the time back. And I think it's like really relatable to me, because there's like some times where in my life where I'm like, man, I wish this would have worked out. I spend so much time dwelling on that instead of working something else out.
Sure. Yeah.
And I feel like I've wasted a lot of time, but in reality I haven't. So
I think a big like recent life lesson to me was, oh shit, it didn't work. Time to fucking move forward.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been someone who's like looked back with anger and disdain a little bit, and yeah, like, oh, why the fuck couldn't, like, you know, it's my fault, blah 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 blah. And then I just, you know, there was just a moment in my life where I was like, why? Why am I
exactly?
It's only wasted my time, and I've only been like a sitting rock as like everything moves around me.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, why am I doing that to myself?
It's not a healthy way to go. And I think as you get older, you realize that you don't have enough time to look back on past mistakes or things that you wanted that didn't necessarily work out. Because, I mean, as cliche as it sounds, but I think everything does happen for like a specific reason, or maybe some sort of reason to kind of either make you learn from it or find something that you actually want, you know?
For sure.
So thank you, Belmont, for making me...
Belmont, you're so philosophical,
insightful
with us today.
Yeah.
I love it.
What is your next pick?
Oh, remember how you were talking about the Wonder Years?
I do.
You know I get one every episode.
Yeah.
I chose the Wonder Years, Get Stoked on It, 2007, yeah, with their song, About to Get Fruit Punched, Homie.
Thought I had people I could trust, like my boy, Captain Crunch. I know he never threw me like that. Behind my back, I found your mouth all cut up.
Hell yeah. So actually, it was 2007 that remaster came out. I lied to everybody earlier.
It's okay. I didn't know.
So let me just go on off on this. So this song starts with an intriguing synth solo that really pulls you in. Like, it's not something that like makes you rock right away, but it's like...
Yeah.
So I really like the melody of that. You can tell this is an early song, but damn, is it catchy. And dare I say, a little fucking badass. Lines like... Thought I had people I could trust, like my boy Captain Crunch. It's like,
yeah,
how do you even come up with that shit? But I think they were just like trying to like get things that rhyme. So he probably like actually thought the line, thought I had people I could trust. He's like, what rhymes with trust? Crust
Captain
does.
Crunch.
Captain Crunch. And I think, yeah, like they have like all the art with like the Kool-Aid girl and the,
yep,
Captain Crunch guy. And
Captain Crunch is like drunk.
Mm-hmm. Like fucking.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Or, yo, Holmes, you don't know what I'm capable of, so keep my name out of your mouth, son. Fucking badass, yeah, Roper.
Awesome.
I can't tell you how many times like I was like in the fight like mentality for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna beat the shit out of you, son.
And
I never say stuff like that.
You're about to get fruit punched, homie.
I'm gonna get fruit punched, homie. Unlike most Wonder Years jams, they're screaming, like yells in the,
yeah,
bridge. That's crazy. You never hear that anymore. But it's such a fun song, and it just really gets you going. I think this is like the band that really, I think this and 4 Years Strong is like the band that really got synths where I was like, okay, fucking,
yeah,
synths are fucking cool as shit.
They're pretty, they were pretty influential on most of the community with that stuff too. Like,
mm-hmm,
they're like, I'd always, early on, I would like kind of compare 4 Years Strong to A Day to Remember.
Sure.
And just because they had that perfect blend. But I think 4 Years Strong really stood out earlier on with their synth, and it's like nice to hear every once in a while going back.
What A Day to Remember song has a synth on it?
None of them.
Oh, okay.
I was saying 4 Years Strong.
Another great song is I Fell in Love with a Ninja Master.
Yeah,
it's like one of the fucking best like drum beats. And
I forgot about that one.
It's like fucking badass. I love it. But the Wonder Years early stuff, like anyone who says they don't like it, I feel like you're just unwilling to look at the Wonder Years in a different light.
Yeah.
It's like they are one of the bands that have changed their sound so much. Like, I remember telling somebody that I was like trying to get them into the Wonder Years. And then I was like, so I showed them their newest song at the time was Pyramids of Salt.
Yeah.
And I was like, so you know that song, right? And how it's like super emotional. And she's like, yeah, yeah, it's cool. And I'm like, all right, well, listen to this bad boy song. I showed her the Ninja one and she was like, what the fuck?
I know. Even when I first started listening to the Wonder Years, like I had said earlier, I was more so into like the Upsides because that was the that was the newest record at the time. But I mean, I would still come back to this and be like, this is completely different, but I still like appreciated it.
Yeah.
And there's there's a lot of fun behind a lot of these tracks.
I heard someone I heard someone say, I feel like I grew up with the Wonder Years.
Yeah, I honestly feel that way too, though. Mm-hmm. Like
the Wonder Years are like, we're just gonna have fun, talk about astronauts and fucking turtles and shit in our song, and then they're just all about, you know, actually like heartbreaking shit. And the band is like some of the most caring people.
It's crazy that you just made that analogy though, because like I was a teenager when I found them, and then I feel like every record I've found something to relate to throughout the records. I know they're quite a bit old, or not quite a bit older than me, but a little bit older than me. So it is kind of nice to have, like, they almost feel like spiritually a big brother in some way.
They're like a little bit of a guidance.
Yeah.
They had the song It Must Get Lonely.
Yeah, that,
like,
I love
really
that song.
Fucked with me. And there's like a line in it that something on the lines of, if you're using and stuff like that. And I had a friend that was like into drugs at the time that was really breaking me apart when this album dropped, and I was like, oh man, dude, why you gotta be that way, dude?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I have something similar to that, not with that specific song, but like it's like it's off of The Greatest Generation, where he's like, I thought my kids would call you uncle, thought we'd never be alone. Like that one, that song got to me because like me and one of my best friends had like a really big falling out, and he was the one who showed me the Wonder Years. And so like the I'm Letting Go is like kind of like, okay, well, yeah, that one sticks with me quite a bit.
That'll probably always be my favorite Wonder Years record, but
I don't know, man. It's
hard for you.
Really,
you switch back and forth a lot.
I like. I think No Closer to Heaven was the one that is like my all-time favorite.
I really took me a long time to get into that. A long time.
Yeah, I fell in love with it quickly. Like in the beginning, like when I first heard Cardinals, I was like, oh, this is gonna be more of a like somber album.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard I Don't Like Who I Was Then. That's like they're more so like until that song like came out, like. Or that song is like truer to earlier Wonder Years stuff, especially from that record. But everything else on there is like super mature and like kind of sad. And I think I was just kind of going through it at the time. But
yeah, that when that song talks about like the running, right?
Yeah,
I wanna run till my lungs give out or something like that. I remember I like was going through a very similar situation I'm going through now, like going through a breakup and I lost a job. And I started running, and that song was like my fucking pickup song.
Yeah, that song pumps me up.
Dude, love it. But anyway, we talked a lot about the Wonder Years.
Yeah.
So how about you talk about another band?
We could honestly do a Wonder Years episode.
I think it's going to happen eventually. Yeah. I kind of like to wait. We've been talking about doing a Patreon, and but if we do it, we're going to do it right. We're going to give content that I feel like people will really enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm never going to ask anyone to provide us with money unless I feel like it's a worthy product.
Oh, absolutely.
So that may happen sometime in the future.
Speaking of money, my next pick is by a band called For the Win.
Ooh.
Have you heard these guys?
I have. I actually love For the Win.
I do too.
It's another, they're a lot like Me Versus Hero though.
Yeah.
I sleep on them a lot.
I liked them a lot when I first found them, and then I kind of dropped off of them, but I can still come back to them and like I never left them, you know. The album that this song is from is More Than You Know. I think it's an EP, but it's from like 2014. And the song that I picked is Part 2.
We share a name, but we're not the same. Don't tell me I'm the one to blame. We're not. Back again. When ammo runs-
might be my favorite one.
This song, yeah, this song is really fucking heavy for that band.
Yeah.
This is like, they're like another like modern day easy core band too, where they implement a lot of like double kick drums and no synthesizer, but they do have like, I don't know, it, like I was saying earlier, it's really hard for me to distinguish pop punk and easy core, but I think
this is definitely an easy core band.
Yeah, going through most of these songs, like if they've got the double kick, it's more so in my mind like easy core. Not saying every song is easy core, but with their elements of metal. I picked this song because like I think it fucking rules. It's got a sweet guitar riff that like kicks off the song, and then it starts going into whoa 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 whoa. And this guy's got such a distinct voice too.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like really high pitched, but I think it's pretty good. I like the theme of this song. I think it's about like, either you're breaking off some sort of like really close bond or relationship with like a family member or like a really close friend, and like one of the lyrics is like, "We share a name, but we're not the same" and stuff. And I think that's pretty cool, but
it could be a good divorce lyric.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's just about growing apart from people. So
more depressing news for everybody. Not news, but but like sad songs.
Yeah, I fucking love sad songs. But I was saying like they have a very distinct voice and it like fits this band perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kill it with. In other songs too, they have like these really sick like chugging breakdowns and stuff.
Oh, God. There's something and, about that, man.
Yeah,
it just gets me.
These guys are fucking awesome. Part two is probably my favorite song by them, but
yeah, part two's great.
Yeah, God, I'm so winded today.
Breathe, Roper, breathe. I'm gonna help you breathe with a band I love.
Oh,
they're pretty great. Their band's called Chunk No Captain Chunk.
This isn't off the new record.
It isn't off the new record. I feel like the new record's more pop rock.
Yeah.
Honestly. But these guys were like a fucking staple in the easy core genre.
Oh, yeah. I put them up there with 4 Year Strong, like, as, like, them being so similar with the easy core sounds.
Yeah, I think
they're just like a French version of 4 Year Strong.
Yeah, the Frenchies of 4 Year Strong. But... I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed that I didn't pick In Friends We Trust, because that's like their big like easy core song, and it's a great song, don't get me wrong, but I don't like it as much.
But
as
this is your list, not
it is.
Their list.
It is my list, but if you guys have a list, I want to see it and hear it. Anyway, the album is Part of My French, dropped in 2013 with the song Restart. Now it feels like we just can't stop anymore. Okay, before I get into this, it was between this and Haters Gonna Hate.
Oh, I know that one.
Haters Gonna Hate's great. I think I've talked about it in a previous episode. So
I think
I figured,
you have.
I might have even talked about this one. I don't fucking know.
I don't think you've talked about this one, though.
Part of My French is one of my favorite albums, and I could not talk about Restart. So, like I said earlier, I had such a hard time picking a song from Chunk No Captain Chunk because they're all so good, and I usually just listen to their full albums on repeat. So
okay.
It's hard for me to like pick a song by these guys, but I chose Restart because it was a song that got me into the band, and their newest song, Bitter, actually subtly references it. So I thought that was cool. The guitars are so damn good in this track. It's intense throughout the whole song. Vocally, the screams and clean vocals are all done by the same guy. And that's just amazing to me. Like, how does this guy fucking do it? It
takes a lot of practice and talent to do that. To be trained in both singing and screaming.
Yeah, like, but the guy's like a fucking short dude, skinny as fuck, and he's like blowing out these fucking. Ooh, I can't fucking do it, but man, he's good. He's good. As soon as the lyrics go, and now it feels like we just can't stop, and then like all the other instruments are dropped at this point, and then the fucking all the instruments hit all at once, and I'm like, oh fuck, dude, such a headbanging moment, you know.
Nice.
I really loved it. I have to say, just to talk about, I said earlier that they have a reference to it in their song Bitter, and they say we have to restart again, which I was like, oh man, that made me happy that they I like when bands reference their old lyrics.
They like
and
callbacks
shit. Yeah, the Wonder Years, not too. To keep mentioning them, but they do that a lot.
Yep.
And so I was really into this. If anyone hasn't listened to Chuck No Captain Chunk's new record, I highly recommend it. Roper.
I'll get on it one day.
No, you won't.
You don't know me.
I know you very well. I fucking see you weekly.
Yep.
It's too much. I'm joking. I'd see you every day if
it's
I could.
It's bi-weekly now.
Bi-weekly? Yeah. Oh, I see you twice a week.
Yeah.
Bi-weekly
You're
is...
obligated to see
oh,
me twice
Oh, I'm thinking like bi-monthly maybe. I thought bi-weekly was every other week.
I don't know.
Okay, well, that's all I really have to say about Chunk.
It's bi-daily.
I'm bi-daily.
You're bi-daily.
I'm bi-daily.
Explains right. The lube on the table.
Hey, I put it away. All right, go ahead.
The next song that I picked is by a band called Newfound Glory.
Ooh.
It's from the album Catalyst, which came out in 2004, and the song is At Least I'm Known for Something.
I have a lot to say about this one.
Do you not agree with me on this one?
No, wholeheartedly oh, okay. agree with you.
Okay.
I do think it's so interesting hearing... what's the lead vocalist's name?
Oh, shoot. I don't know, because Chad plays guitar, right? Oh, his name's Jordan.
Jordan. Are you sure?
I think so.
Yeah, well, if we're wrong, we're wrong. But anyway, he's got some high vocals going over these like chugs, and it just kind of threw me off for a second.
Yeah.
Like, I've always... Because when they started, they were more of an easy core. They've... Yeah. Subtly moved to more like poppy pop punk.
Well, they have roots in hardcore music.
I read your list.
yeah.
But and yeah, now, what is like their hardest hardcore record?
I mean, they came from hardcore bands. They weren't a hardcore band.
Do you know any of them off the top of your head?
Do I know? They've got like this super band called Hazen Street. I can't remember who else is in that band. Then they've got another like hardcore band, and they're like superhero themed, but not like Marvel superheroes or anything. Like the picture of them is like superheroes of hardcore. I think that's what it's called.
I feel
called.
Like I've definitely seen that.
Yeah. So their roots are hardcore roots. But I think they do this great thing, especially like, you notice it more in this album and then Sticks and Stones that they have the more chugging riffs, the more hardcore style.
I'd say especially for this album.
Yeah.
The album artwork freaks me out, though.
Yeah, it is kind of creepy. But I think they're one of the pioneers in easycore because they were like one of the first bands to adapt that hardcore style.
Wikipedia
over
said so. Yeah.
I know. I know. My ears said so, too.
Oh, okay.
This song, man, every time I hear this song, it brings me back to my second Warped Tour, but it was my first time seeing these guys.
Mm.
And, like, they were by far my favorite band
that oh, really?
I saw. I mean, they're still one of my favorite live bands.
I have yet
time.
To see them live, and I hear they toured. And I don't know how I missed them.
They're here at least, like, once every 2 years.
I'll take it.
And they're fucking phenomenal live. The last time I saw them is when they put out Stages to Stereos or Screens to Stereos.
Yeah, it was the cover album, right?
Yeah, the third one. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he did all the, like, dress-ups that they did for, like, the music videos and
stuff. He dressed
stuff.
Up as Elsa?
Yeah, he put on an Elsa dress.
Hell yeah.
But, like, their biggest one was when they did the song from The Greatest Showman. And he, like, came out dressed up like a ringleader.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. He didn't dress up like Shrek, though, which kind of sucked.
What
but...
the fuck? That's a great... thing to dress up as.
I love that cover.
I love Shrek.
But yeah, so I mean, it brings me back to like the first time seeing them in Minnesota, and like it was so dry, it hadn't really rained at all that summer, so they start playing like this song, and everybody just busts out in this circle pit. I'm doing a circle motion for Hunter.
He
doesn't know what a circle is.
Mm-mm.
But like it was like this funnel of dust that shot up in the air, so it looked like it was like a little tornado. And, like, every time you would, like, smile at your friends, you just had dirt covering your teeth and stuff. Oh, man, it was awesome.
Side note, but do you think anyone has ever done a triangle pit before?
I'm wondering how you would work that out.
I feel like it could be possible.
I'm picturing it in my mind right now.
Yeah, because you do a square pit, it's just not going to work because people are going to go revert back to the circle. But if they do triangle, they know they have specific points they have to go to before they turn.
Well, a square, you would have to do... you would have to have specific points too.
Well, yeah, of course, but I feel like a square is easier to turn into a circle than a triangle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We do an octagon pit.
A hexagon one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of pictured it in my mind. You could put some cones out, and you have to run it around the cones.
They'd be like, why it's is like leaving a... Warren putting out cones before the show?
I wanted the innovators of the triangle pit. But yeah, mm-hmm. This song pumps me up every time I hear it. It just brings me back to that Warped Tour. The song, like, it's very, I mean, I like the theme behind it too, because like it's about like being down on yourself and like looking at all the like negatives in your life, and I mean, it's played to like a more so like fast paced like fun style of music, lyrics can be kind of sad, but I really dig this song. I think it's one of their best songs.
Yeah, it's a good one. But, I actually forgot how much I like the record that you picked it from.
What I was going to say earlier too, before I went into my Warped Tour story, a lot of their newer music sounds a lot more easycore styled too.
What? Their newest record sounded nothing like easycore.
Are you kidding me? Shook by Your Shaved Head, that song is fucking heavy.
I don't know. Yeah. I just remember like the
Connect
Jason
the Dots
Voorhees song and and like
Connect the Dots isn't off their newest record, but like the Resurrection record, that has a lot of like really like heavy guitar riffs on it too.
I also remember the I'm calling you on FaceTime and then I fell asleep.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I hated that song. I was like, come on, guys.
Yeah, that record's actually pretty good, but that song's cheesy.
There's a few on there I liked, yeah. I feel like I always find two or three songs I like from their new record and I just get rid of
there's a lot of like every time they put out a new record I'm like
oh really,
and I was like man, and then I listen to it, I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty fucking good. They might be like, you know how you like Less Than Jake and I like don't really know about them that much?
Well, that's gotta change, but continue.
they might be like my Less Than Jake.
Oh yeah, because you know it's funny though, because I always get excited whenever they put out a new record and I'm always like
yeah, I'm like there's certain bands, like if I haven't listened to them in like a long time and they put out new stuff, I instantly like dismiss it.
Oh,
like,
really? That's so weird. I'm always like pumped. I'm like, yes, a new record. And
it's like bands that I listened to when I was younger. I'm like, oh, they're old. But
I like the old pop punkers.
When I say younger, I mean like junior high-ish and stuff. And like, I don't know.
I just feel like more mature records generally come from the older dudes.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But like, if I see like a band like Sum 41,
I'm always so excited.
I know, and I'm like the exact opposite. I'm like, God, these guys peaked in 2001, and I'm sure they're putting out great fucking music,
man.
Or it's like Simple Plan. Like
Simple Plan, I can get behind.
I saw them. I saw them play at Warped Tour, and I thought it was a joke because I'm like, man, these guys are like 20 years old now. Like, get off the fucking stage. But
20 years old now,
they're like. Of them being popular.
Oh, I thought you meant like they were 20-year-olds on stage.
No.
I was like, actually, I have some news
they're
for
like,
you.
Yeah, I'm not that dumb, dude.
They just moisturize.
Yeah, they were funny to see live because I'm like, yeah, I was singing this when I was like sixth grade.
Dude, I don't care. If I can hear some Simple Plan and get into a fucking crowd pit,
yeah,
or
it's
a pit, circle pit.
It's weird because like there's certain bands in my mind that turn into a novelty in my mind.
Oh, like
so
that
like,
capsule of time.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, this is like shit that I listened to in middle school.
See, that's
and
always
can't
like
take
3 days grace.
Yeah,
for
that's
me
how or, I feel about them too. Yeah. It's like anything off of like the main like rock station, I'm like, yeah, this is a novelty station to me
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm. Or like the Fray.
Yeah, I just don't want to give them like the time of day anymore, even though.
Anytime I hear like, oh, the Fray's coming out a new record, I'm like, ooh, another way to talk about Jesus.
Are they a Christian band now?
I think they've always been one.
Really? I never noticed that.
Yeah, they've always had like their Christian roots. And you know how I found that out? When my very Christian friend's mom had the Fray CD, and I was like, no!
They're man, ruined. How am I going to save a life now?
No. I have nothing against Christianity, but there's just something about knowing when a band's a Christian rock band that I'm like,
you just like, you like instantly like they lose credit in your mind.
They lose some credit. You know what though? That was Skillet, and then
that's
Skillet put on
Skillet
one of the
is
best live fucking shows I've seen.
I agree with that. I saw them at
Laserfest. Were you there?
Yeah.
When
they put the violin player up on that big like podium thing.
I like the fire. I was like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's close enough to feel the heat. So
I think.
Like, damn.
So like they had two stages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the other side of the stage because I was waiting for like Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper to play that day.
Wait, is this outside?
Or yeah, this is outside.
Okay. This Skillet was inside.
Oh, the skillet show that I saw was Laserfest outside, though.
So you saw them outside?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw them inside. Weird.
Weird.
But I started off outside, and then it went to the inside, and, like, the Offspring were there. And...
Oh, yeah, I wasn't there for that one. Okay. Because I definitely would have loved to see the Offspring.
Yeah, the Offspring were just a bunch of old dudes telling dick jokes and then playing their songs. It was weird, because they had, like, the bassist was, like, a 24-year-old, and the rest of them were, like, 60.
Now their drummer...
I know that's not true, but...
Now they have a new drummer from then, too.
Yeah, what the fuck? Too. Fuck that shit. Okay.
Hey, it's about them being safe, you know?
You know what it's about? It's about... It's like, what, do you have no loyalty? That's my opinion on it. Like, come on.
To your drummer? Hell?
To your drummer, yeah.
Oh, okay, I agree with that.
Like,
yeah.
What the you're going to kick your drummer out of your band because you didn't get a fucking COVID shot?
He must not be, like...
And I heard that, like, there was a lot of backstory behind that. Like, he couldn't because his health would... It would be too much of a risk for his health. And the band's like, well, sorry, man. I guess you just can't be on the band with us.
Well, that's really shitty.
And also, didn't they, like, sell all their music to a big recording company or something?
I wouldn't be surprised because I think they're signed by Warner.
I heard they, like, sold the rights to all their music to another thing.
I don't think I would.
Like, don't get me wrong. I like the band a lot. The Offspring has some fucking killer ass songs, but they, I don't know. Really,
I wouldn't,
dumb decisions lately.
Yeah, that especially, like, selling off your music. Like, I would never do that.
Also, I listened to their new record. I was not impressed. It was all right.
See, they're a band that would put out a new record that I wouldn't listen to.
Oh, really?
So I'd be like, they're like 30 years old now. Like, I'm okay. I don't need to hear any new Offspring. The last new Offspring record that I listened to came out in, like, 2009.
Jesus.
And I'm like,
you were just a
I'm
young
like,
boy.
I don't want to come out and play for this one.
Going to
keep them separated.
I'm going to get them educated for some reason.
I'm going to get you educated.
So where do we go off until we got fucking steam?
It's your turn now.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, okay. I like that last song that I picked.
Good to know. All right, so I'm picking a band that deserves some recognition right about now. They're called Settle Your Scores with their album Retrofit that's not even out yet.
How do you even hear this song?
Because it came out as a single, Roper.
Oh.
Get with it. And the song is called Meant for Misery.
This one speaks right to your soul.
Jesus. Okay, well, how does Settle Your Scores make such a sad song sound so damn happy? this is the kind of music I like. Sad fucking depressing ass lyrics with some, like, happy ass fucking sounds to it. But with the power of easycore, that's how they did it, Roper, just in case you didn't know. I can see how many wouldn't see this song as an easycore song, but the chorus really screams it to me, so get over yourselves.
Can you scream me the chorus?
Maybe.
Okay.
But the hook of the maybe I'm just meant for misery. Oh my god, so good. Have you listened to this one?
I have.
Okay, good.
I've listened to all their singles that they put out.
Yeah, the last record. One I wasn't as big of a fan of.
I liked it.
It was all right.
I liked the one that came out 2 weeks
Take
ago.
Take me back to 1999. Was it that one or was it the other one?
It's the one that came out after that.
Oh, okay. Man, but they got some great ass singles.
Yeah.
Not even that I didn't even like the latest single. It's just that I was like, compared to
the other
three,
ones better.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to stick with these.
Yeah, I'm excited for this record to come out.
But anyway, in the song that we were just discussing called Meant for Misery, I think the verses flow so damn well, and the production, we've mentioned this a lot in this episode, is just next level. I think it sounds really good in there. I don't think it sounds shoehorned. I think that this is a very great step up for this band.
Yeah.
And I think Settle Your Scores is one of the only bands keeping this genre alive.
Really?
I really do. I really think that a lot of other bands are moving away from it, and I think these guys kind of are, maybe,
I think it's just kind of blending into
the pop punk
genre in general, because, like, when I was doing some research listening to different, like, easycore playlists, they had, like, Neck Deep on there, and then
that's not easycore.
I know, they had, like, Kali Ma and Can't Kick Up the Roots on there. And then they had
maybe
they had like State Champs on there too.
Yeah, no, subtly, like easy core is just, it's just so close to just being pop punk.
Yeah, that's where I had the hard time distinguishing.
And I did too. I knew some, like I was always going to pick a Sell Your Scores song for this list. I think we came up with this idea before a lot of the singles had come out yet.
Yeah, we did.
So I've always really liked Settle Your Scores. I always thought they were a band that was like they deserve more.
Yeah.
They're really good. So with this new album coming out, I feel like there's a lot more hype behind it. Even if you go to their Spotify, you can see almost all their new songs are in their top listings.
They just they got featured in Alt Press on like a full page spread too, which is cool.
I saw that the main singer is on the pop punk group on Facebook, and he posts a lot, and it's always like milestones for his band, and that's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
but yeah. This record's going to be exciting. I'm very excited to listen to the full thing. I think it's going to be fantastic. But Roper.
Fucking sick.
Can you tell me about your number one?
My number one is by one of the best bands I've ever heard. That is
All Star by Smash Mouth.
Yep. Hey now, you're a rock star. Set Your Goals is actually.
Oh.
Yep. It's from their Reset EP, which I think it came out in 2005. Don't quote me on it, but quote me on it.
Okay.
And the song is Goonies Never Say Die.
Turn around.
That's two Goonies references this episode.
Yep. I kind of knew that we were going to do that, but the song fucking rules, dude.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. When I think of easycore or pop punk, like Set Your Goals is one of the first bands that I think of, and they they were one of the gateway bands to get me into pop punk, which is kind of weird because like a lot of people have other gateway bands, but once I heard these guys and saw them live, I was like, oh, this is what I want to be a part of the rest of my life. this song is a fast-paced thrill ride with heavy guitars, fast-paced drums, and rhythm. Also, a catchy hook for a chorus. Song makes me either want to two-step or run in a circle pit. This band is so underrated that it kills me. I wrote that.
I was going to say, like, it is a very underrated band.
I think they're super underrated. Any of their songs could have made this list, but it's hard to pass up Goonies Never Say Die, in my opinion.
Don't they have, like, multiple songs that have Goonies references?
Their Mutiny record is, like, pirate-themed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was looking through a lot of it. They're another band that I sleep on. A lot of easycore bands we're sleeping on. Maybe that's the problem. We got to fucking jump into this.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, there's a lot of them that aren't even like really together anymore either.
Yeah, a lot
such
of them fell
a,
out.
Such a like 10. There was like I would give it like a 10-year period when you of easy actually probably longer.
I would say five.
But yeah, I agree with that. It really started popping up around like the early to mid 2000s. I wouldn't say early. I'd say more so mid to late 2000s.
I think with like bands like A Day to Remember. And 4 Year Strong and fuck, what's the last song you were talking about?
Goonies Never Say Die.
Yeah, who's that
Set Your Goals.
Not Set Your Goals.
Oh, the last song, Newfound Glory.
Yeah, Newfound Glory. Sorry, my brain doesn't work.
It's okay, mine
I think these bands are like populating a new genre or popularizing a new genre. So then you're having all these other bands, like brand new bands that are like, oh, we fucking dig this, we're gonna make records, and they always make one or two records, don't see the success that they expected.
Yeah.
While that's happening, these bands that popularize this new genre have already moved on.
Yeah, they move on and stuff.
I mean, like, the thing is like, easycore is just metalcore with a major key.
Yeah.
So, it's not something... I always found it interesting that it didn't last as long as it did.
I know, because it's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just blended into that, like, defend pop-punk era of, like, early 2010s. To probably
Well then you also had like the neon pop punk and that died off pretty quick too.
Well yeah, that was around the same time as easycore.
Mm-hmm.
Basically the early 2010s or late 2000s.
Bring back the shirt designs tour. Though
yeah, those were fucking dope.
Those were cool.
I still have more to say about the song though.
Well, I have a lot to say about shirt designs.
Oh, that's fine. We can talk about that after.
Okay.
I like the fucking theme of this song. It's about not giving up on yourself.
Ooh.
Which is something that I feel like a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah.
Where they're easy to say, like, well, this isn't showing, I mean, like, this isn't the result that I wanted right away, so I'm just going to quit.
You know?
And that happens with everything. But yeah. I think this band simply nails the message of this song of when they simply just yell all in gain vocals, "Don't say I quit!"
I love you just smiling.
Yep.
Just cheesing.
And then, like, the bridge of this song really fucking pumps me up because they fucking, I'm playing air guitar to Hunter right now, but mm-hmm. they pick up the pace of it, and it starts to, well, at the beginning, they're like, "Don't say I quit. I'll be back. I need to find what might be mine. Just let me go this time." Then it starts to pick up, and it goes, "Do do do do
do do do do do." He's like staring at me intensely.
I'm just seeing if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I listened to the song.
But yeah, so you get that temperature
temperature change. You go from like a crisp 65 to a 95.
You go to lukewarm to fucking hot.
Hot baby, hot.
With lyrics like, "Your face never looks so sad. No need to worry, cause I'll be back. I'm just tired of the same routine. I need to find what it is waiting out there for me." So it's like songs about not giving up on yourself and finding your own success, which is mm-hmm. something I think a lot of people struggle with.
Dude, like, just what that's actually been kind of like a weird thing in my life lately, where it's like, yes, I'm not exactly where I wanted to be, where I thought I should have been at this point. You know, the podcast is kind of like that.
Yeah.
We have, lately, I feel like the podcast has really been doing well. Like, yeah. I feel like we've been improving. I feel like we're getting more responses and feedback. And, you know, we love talking to everybody. But, like, if I thought, honestly, I don't know. We started off with zero followers on this Instagram account that we have to support this podcast. Now we're above 300.
Yeah,
we're not even in a year. So
mid-300. So
yeah, we. I mean, like, I love the point of the song. Like, just because you're not where you think you should be right now, don't give up. Keep fucking moving forward.
Yeah.
Keep improving. You know, stuff like that.
I think it's a good song to start your day off with too.
Mm-hmm.
That way you're already in the keep going headspace. You know, I try to wake up every morning and tell myself that I'm going to have a good day.
Yeah.
And does that work all the time? No, but it at least gets me in a good headspace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I have to say about that song. It fucking rules. You should check it out.
If you guys don't.
If you don't.
You're never gonna keep getting better, guys.
Yeah. I'll come find you.
We'll come find you. All right.
Where you're at.
My number uno. It's by one of my favorite bands, 4 Years Strong.
Hell yeah, dude.
Off one of their most easycore records, Rise or Die Trying.
Hell yeah.
Dropped in 2007. Holy shit, that was a while ago.
Yeah, dude.
And the song I chose is Beat Down in the Key of Happiness.
You're a gamble. You got nothing left to lose. You think you got me in the back of your pocket to tell. So take a breath.
Mark talked about this song when he was on with us.
Oh, man. I forgot about that.
This was his favorite 4 Years Strong song,
oh,
too.
Oh, shit. This isn't my favorite 4 Years Strong song.
Oh.
But I feel like it just fits.
It's the most, the like, easy core off this
yeah.
album.
I was going to choose Find My Way Back, and I'm like, that's not as easy core.
No, there's no synth in that one.
There's no. It's not good. Yeah. But anyway, so just the title alone is exactly what easy core is about. Beatdown in the Key of Happiness.
Yeah, dude.
The breakdown for the bridge really gives the song a tight hang betting moment. That must be a typo.
What's a tight bang dang?
Tight bang dang moment.
Bang dang old moment.
I'll just continue. And that synth comes in and pumps you right back up. I always felt like 4 Years Strong had some of the best lead guitars in the game.
Yeah.
Don't at me. I don't know what that means, but don't do it.
Don't come after him.
Oh, don't come after me. Vocally, the song is fun, but yet aggressive. Nothing screams easy core like this bad boy.
Oh, nothing.
I always feel like I'm writing like a... Every time I write, like I'm writing, like I'm trying to sell you something.
I'm trying to write like an intelligent review, and then like half the time I can't even say what I'm trying to write down.
Oh, I mean, same. Like, we always try to sound a little bit smarter than we actually are.
Like, my whole thing is, like, I get super excited about music, and I just want people to hear it, and I can't, I get so excited, like, trying to describe it, and I don't do it justice.
Oh, man. I mean, like, I don't know. Just like, gotta get fucking pumped up for me. Like, yeah, this song's fucking the shit. But anyway, For Your Strong, I can't remember if it was this record or Enemy of the World that got me into the band.
It was definitely this one for me.
Was it this one for you? Like, I think it's something special, though. Like, both of these records are nonstop fucking aggressive-ass guitars.
Yeah.
And, like, Dan and Alan are some of the best vocalists. They're so funny because they didn't even really care to be vocalists.
It's usually what happens when you start a band. Like, you like start out with a vocalist, and then they're the band goes a different direction. Then they're like, well, shit, who's gonna sing now? And it's just one random person in the band.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it's two people.
It is. It's two beautiful men that are very tall and huge.
When they first started, did you ever feel like, or when this record came out, did you ever feel like, who did you feel like the lead singer was?
Dan,
is he the one with the higher pitched voice?
Dan is the one with the beard. Like, I know they all have beards, but not the redheaded beard.
Yeah, that's who I thought was the lead singer for the longest time. And then as they start putting out more records, it's like kind of
it's about 50-50.
Yeah.
They're both great. They both sound like, I thought it was the same person for the longest time. And I was like, what? There's two of them and they're both fucking. So I have a buddy, his name is Cody. We went to college together. And he was a big fan of For Your Strong, and he actually got to play with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is awesome. And he was like, yeah, when I met them, they're like huge. Like, they're like 6'3" dudes.
They're big dudes.
And it's like, as soon as they step on the stage, like the feeling of intensity just like is there. You know?
I mean, you can see it. You could see it from the other side of the stage too.
Oh, like, well, I mean, dude, like it's just like, as soon as they play the first note, it's like, I've seen them a few times, but the one time I saw them in St. Louis a few days before my birthday, and they stepped on stage. They didn't really say anything. You heard like a few guys going, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it was like, and like everyone was, it was like instant crowd circle. Like there was like 10 people on top of each other, all within like a matter of seconds after they step on stage.
That's what happens every time I see them.
Like, For Your Strong is not a band fuck around with. No. Like, if you go to a For Your Strong show, it's like, I could see like a band like Knocked Loose being more crazy or something like that, but out of all the bands that I've seen live, I really think the most crazy and intense people are at a For Your Strong show,
hands down.
And they're the only band that I've crowd surfed to twice.
You know what's weird?
Hmm.
Every time I've seen them, they haven't headlined. And they're definitely like a headline band in my mind.
Yeah, no, the headline for the one I saw, I'm trying to think. I can't remember the first time. Oh, I saw them play with The Story So Far and
I was there.
You were there at that one. And as soon as The Story So Far, I wasn't a fan of them at the time, so I just left. I regret it.
Idiot.
I regret it. I was a very big idiot. But yeah, For Your Strong, dope as shit. I brought like to the concert that you were at. I brought one of my friends, Casey. Which is like, I just love, you know, pop music and country. And then I bring her and then she's like, what the fuck is going on?
These guys would be, For Your Strong would be such a like tough band to follow play.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because they
don't even try.
They personify energy and like, after you're done with one of their sets, you're just fucking like tired.
They're like one of the only bands I'd be like afraid to go and talk to after their set.
Yeah,
I'd be like, hi, Dan and Alan.
I like your Hawaiian shirts.
I bought a few shirts of yours. And they're like, thanks. I'm like, oh.
You know, shake my hand.
and they rip my arm off.
Break your hand.
Oh, God. But that was it. That was our top five easy core songs. Roper, I think this is a great fucking playlist.
This is going to be
worthy thing.
Yeah, this is a great workout playlist.
Ooh, hell yeah. I feel bad that they have to listen to our Babylon song first. But
I don't care.
That's all right. It's a good song anyway.
Yeah.
Are you ready to move on?
Yeah, now I am.
Well, did you have something more to say?
No.
All right, well, say it with some power. Say it like Dan and Alan from 4 Year Strong.
Thanks.
About to get fruit punched, homie. Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form and our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Now, Roper, calm down over there. This week, we have Down and Out with their song, Feigning Joy. I had to look up how to say feigning. Is it feigning?
Feigning.
I heard feigning. Like Mr. Feeny.
No, it's Fane.
Oh, well, there's your Boy Meets World reference.
Fane!
All right. Down and Out exists somewhere within the sonic intersection of a Day to Remember, All Time Low, and Mayday Parade, exuding warped tour energy. The Adelaide-based band takes a nostalgic but innovative approach to pop punk that's both high energy and sentimental. Rising from the ashes of a former outfit, Down and Out began as a two-piece collaboration between Luke Ganeo, who is on vocals, Tyson Stunnell, guitar. The duo emerged under the moniker in 2019 with their debut EP, A Brief Exchange. A showcase of ever-catchy hooks and spirited angst laden lines, the release drew quick attention from the modern pop punk scene and prompted the growth of a full band. Following the departure of Stunnell, the lineup came to include Alec Gano, I'm so sorry if I pronounce your names wrong, but he's guitar and backing vocals, Blake Lee Donner, guitar, Bradley Billing, bass, and Henry Armstrong, drums. I wonder how many Full Metal Alchemist references that guy gets.
I don't know, but you have to be Armstrong to play the drums.
You want to know what the song's about?
Yeah.
It's about existential. Existential?
Existential crisis.
It's about existential crisis.
Ooh.
Roper, are you fucking ready, my dude?
I'm fucking ready, bro. I did what I was told to, though I didn't think it would. I don't know how you ended up this way, but that was a beautiful song.
I loved it. But yeah. Hey, Roper. Roper!
Yo!
What'd you think of that song?
I don't know how they ended up that way, but I fucking love that song. I really liked the majority of it is acoustic.
Yeah.
Which is very beautiful. But once they get the full band in there, it caught my attention
what
even more.
What a fucking kickback, my dude.
Yeah.
I loved it. I'm pretty sure I reached out to these guys and I saw them on the Pop Punk Kids page. And I was like, hey, this shit's good.
Hell
fucking
yeah.
Please submit it to be up on our podcast. I'm glad. I was like a month or two ago, so I'm glad we finally got to it. I really liked their, I think it's a EP. It's got six songs on it. It's an EP. It's called A Brief Exchange.
There you go.
That's a really good EP. Big fans of these guys. Really excited to see where they go with it. Give me some stories so far vibes. How do you feel about that sentence?
Yeah, but I do kind of hear that blend between like Mayday Parade and like A Day to Remember stuff.
Same.
Too.
Sure.
I think vocally he sounds really close to Derek from Mayday Parade.
Really? I think he sounds more like Parker Cannon.
I mean, he does. He sounds like a blend between both of them,
yeah,
to
he
be
does.
Honest.
So I guess your description was very well done.
Good job on knowing yourself.
But great fucking song.
Yeah.
Love this, guys. Awesome. We really appreciate that you guys are willing to wait to be on the show.
Yeah.
But it was a worthwhile wait in my mind. So thank you, guys. Please check out these guys. They're super good, and I'm really happy that they were a part of the show.
Me too.
Are you ready to talk about other things, Roper?
Yeah. If you guys want to reach out to us at any point in your week, we are at PPES Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, and the YouTubes.
Mm-hmm.
That's at PPES Podcast.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You know what really sucks about having a long-ass fucking name?
Acronyms?
Acronyms. I honestly said PP is like the first thing that I fucking think.
PPES.
PPESP, baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, please reach out to us. You guys have been so awesome about sharing your opinions and songs with us.
Yeah.
And all kinds of different things. So we're very happy. And if we ever like accidentally forget to message you back or anything like that, sometimes we feel like one or the other is going to do it and we're like working or busy at the time, so please give us some leeway there. We very much enjoy having conversations with literally anyone that like talks to us. All the up and coming bands have been fantastic. I feel like the quality of bands, whether they be like bands that we've already had that come back on the show and like release new music that we get to share, like all of you guys have been fucking killing it. It gives me a lot of, I don't want to say hope, because I know the pop punk scene's never going to die.
No.
But it just makes me feel good to know that we got some killer-ass bands that are on their way up.
Yeah, and we get to help showcase their progress.
Mm-hmm. And that was always a big thing for us, is that we always wanted to support the up-and-comers. We always wanted to talk about our favorites.
Yeah.
And, you know, this... I'm really proud of our scene.
Me too.
I think we've done a really good job. Anything else you want to discuss? Rope dog.
I don't know. Do you have a cool joke for me this week?
I should just like start Googling jokes and write them down in my Google Docs.
No racist jokes.
Though. I'm not a racist person. Why would I have a racist joke?
I don't know. You told me a racist joke once.
It's probably because it was really funny. I don't remember it.
Tell me a really funny joke.
Should we make Pop Punk Game of Remo podcast condoms?
No. I mean. That would help everybody like practice safe sex, but
yeah, because when everyone thinks of safe sex, they think of Hunter and Roper.
They think of my voice.
They're
like, oh yeah, he's safe.
He's a safe boy.
I want to be safe like him.
Abstinence is the safest way.
Yep, my boy Jesus Christ taught me that.
Mm-hmm.
Live by the wood, die by the wood.